The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Mandy Johnston here standing in again for Kieran Cuddihy this evening. And now it's time for our weekly book series, which is called Bookshelf. Every week on a Tuesday, we ask some well-known personality their favourite books and why they've chosen that book. Last week, author Andrea Mara added Big Magic, How to Live a Creative Life and Let Go of Your Fear by Elizabeth Gilbert to our bookshelf. And this week, we're joined by the co-author of The Kidnapping, who's a historian and Irish Times journalist, Ronan McGreevy. Ronan, you're very welcome.
Thanks for having me, Mandy.
Listen, Ronan, very interesting choices and we'll get stuck into it straight away. I love listening to this slot every week, but actually it's so hard, I find, every week my choices are different. To pick your top three or your top one book is like picking your favourite song or your favourite film. But tell us, what did you choose as your best book?
I picked, my favourite book is Don Quixote de la Mancha by the Spanish author Cervantes, which was written in the early part of the 17th century and is one of the most famous books of all time.
Now, it's quite the tome, though, is it?
Yes. Well, it's two volumes, actually. The first one was written in 1605 and he wrote a second one kind of in temper because it was so popular at the time all across Europe that somebody tried to write a fake version of it and pass it off as his own. So he said, I can do better than that. So he produced a second version. So it's about 1,200 pages in total. The most people only read the first volume. There's a fantastic, if people are interested in it, there's a fantastic, on Spotify, there's a fantastic audiobook of it, all 12 hours of it, and brings out the humour in it.
And tell us, what is the book about?
Well, I'm going to read the first two paragraphs, if you don't mind, of it.
I don't mind, our listeners might mind, but it's
only two paragraphs. In the village of La Mancha, the name of which I have no desire to call to mind, there lived not long since one of those gentlemen that keep a lance in a rack, an old buckler, a lean hack, and a greyhound for coursing. You must know that the above-named gentleman, whenever he was at leisure, gave himself up to reading books of chivalry. In short, he became so absorbed in his books that he spent his days from sunset to sunrise and his days from dawn to dark poring over them, and what little sleep and much reading his brains got so dry that he lost his wits. So he's basically the sort of 17th century equivalent of one of these people who goes down the rabbit hole, conspiracy theories and so on. So he's reading all these chivalric romances, which were popular at the time, about knights and dragons and fair ladies and all the rest. And he reads so many of them, he goes mad, basically. And then he thinks of himself as one of these knights, and he goes around the Spanish countryside causing trouble.
He's got a sidekick, Sancho Panza.
That's right, Sancho Panza. And Sancho Panza is a sort of a Spanish couture peasant who thinks who goes along with Don Quixote because he thinks Don Quixote is wealthy, and Don Quixote has promised that he'd make him a governor of an island. But then Señor Panza, Sancho Panza, after a while, begins to realise that Don Quixote's actually mad. I mean, everybody else knows it, but it comes very slowly. But there's a lot of adventures that they go on, and I guess, I mean, it's probably most famous nowadays for the word quixotic, which means, you know, sort of taking up causes that have no hope of success, and also the phrase tilting at windmills, which is a phrase that comes from the book. It's where Don Quixote thinks that these windmills are giants that need to be slayed, and he sort of breaks his lance by trying to spear these windmills. So tilting at windmills is kind of taking up a cause that doesn't really exist.
And Ronan, why do you love this book?
I think it's fantastic because Don Quixote is sort of the persona. He's supposed to be a noble knight, so he's the personification of what the world is supposed to be like. He's always trying to do the right thing, but he lives in a very venal, evil world, and he keeps getting beaten up and mocked and ridiculed. He keeps getting up and he keeps going on. And it was originally intended as a sort of satire on all of these chivalric romances, but it's actually endured. It's probably the most famous. I mean, Cervantes is is to the Spanish language what Shakespeare is to the English language. And this is his most famous book. He actually died, would you believe, the same day as Shakespeare. So, I mean, he has that kind of hold. But he's just one of these sort of archetype characters in world history that never grows old, you know.
And maybe that's because the messages out of the book are constant and they're yeah. always enduring because, you know, there are, I'm not putting words into your mouth, are there things that resonate from the book in terms of their messages that could resonate today?
Yeah, it's really about a dreamer who's trying to create, who has this perfect world in mind, who wants to do the right thing according to the sort of according to the noble knight's code. But he keeps getting thwarted at every turn. And obviously, Sancho Panza is in there as well. He's the everyman. He's the kind of peasant that's in there saying, cop on to yourself, Don Quixote. And Don Quixote never does. And it's also about what's real and what's not, because Don Quixote is a sort of a character that's obviously mad, but he's really sane when the rest of the world is mad, because the world is such a bad place.
Yeah.
The world he grows up in is such a bad place, and he's trying to do the right thing, and he's the one that's supposed to be mad.
Yes, yeah.
So I think it's a terrific book.
And tell me, Ronan, before we move on to your other choices, is this an accessible book, or is it like?
Oh yes, absolutely. You think, oh, it's a 17th century Spanish novel, you'll never be able to read it, but it's actually really accessible. As I said, there is a fantastic, if you want to, it's actually perfect audiobook because there's so many voices in it. So I would recommend people go on to Spotify. And it's there as an audiobook. And it's also on YouTube as an audiobook.
And has it ever been adapted into anything? Like, has anybody ever made a movie or tried to kind of parallel it in a...
Not that I'm aware. I think one of the Monty Python guys, is it Terry Gilliam? Yeah, he tried to make a film of Don Quixote, but nothing ever came of it. I think it turned out to be a financial disaster. I'm not aware of any film that has been made of it, certainly not in the English language. I'm sure there's been movies made of it.
It's definitely
Spanish.
One I'm going to try on that Spotify link. Yeah, that sounds like something that...
It's very funny.
Yeah, it is funny,
isn't it? Yeah. It's meant to be funny. Yeah.
I look forward to that. Well, look, the other thing we do on this slot is give an honourable mention to another book. So you've chose Stalingrad. Tell us about that.
Yeah, this is a totally different...
Very different.
Well, I mean, Stalingrad by Anthony Beaver it made me want to be a military historian. It's very it was written in 1998. It was one of these breakthrough books that books on military history are written by military boards for military boards, but this was a book that broke out. It's basically Stalingrad is the most terrible battle in history, really. It's between 6-7 months between 1942 and 1943. The Soviet Union and Nazi Germany involved in this war of annihilation. The Sixth Army get into Stalingrad, Hitler's ready to declare victory, and then the Red Army just tenaciously hang on and hang on and hang on, and then in early 1943 they surround the Germans and basically destroy the Sixth Army, and it's the beginning of the end for Hitler.
Mm. Like, as you mentioned there, a lot of people who read these type of books, they're specifically into this either period of time or they're just like reading about military warfare. What distinguishes this book in your mind from the other ones you've read? Because you've said, look, it's normally written for people like that, by people like that specifically.
Well, I mean, it's sold over 2 million copies back in the day. And the reason for that is, first of all, it's such a terrible story. I mean, it really is the most titanic clash in history, or one of them.
And as the violence.
Violence. I mean, you're talking about 500,000 men being killed on either side. You're talking about the starvation of the population. You're talking about the German Sixth Army isolated and wiped out. And the thing about Beaver is that he's a great storyteller. This is what made this kind of book, instead of being just a genre book, it became a bestseller. He also had access, so he goes for he goes from the soldier on the ground to the big picture stuff. And he also had access to the Russian archives, which were opened up after the fall of communism in 1991. And he wrote a follow up to it, which was nearly as successful and very controversial, called Berlin, which was about the fight for Berlin in 1945. in which he alleged that the Red Army had been responsible for the mass rape of German women, which got him banned basically from Russia.
Mm. And like a lot of the propaganda you see around the Second World War, you know, focuses on the likes of D-Day and what happened across Europe. You know, do you think that this is a rebalancing to try and, you know, get
I think this book did a huge amount to bring the Eastern Front to the attention of a Western public. Obviously, everybody grows up with the stories of D-Day and the Dam Busters and Pearl Harbor and all the rest. But actually, most of the fighting in the Second World War was done on the Eastern Front. And I think that book and Berlin, the one that followed, I think they really put that into the conscience of the public. But there is an opposite problem that Putin would have you believe that, you know, that the Allies had nothing to do with winning the Second World War. That the French, British, and Americans are written out of the story from their point of view. So, you know, there's a lot of learning on both sides about this.
Yeah, and look, that's why I suppose the archives are so important, really, to get the real time information on all that. Right. Just very quickly, because we're completely out of time, can you just mention the two books that you're currently reading?
Okay, the first one is This Is My Sea by Miriam Mulcahy. It's a beautifully written book about grief and about the redemptive power of the sea. It follows the death of her mother, father, and sister in quick succession. The other book I'm reading is Walled In by Hate, which is by Arthur Matthews of Father Ted fame. Brilliant book about the life and times of Kevin O'Higgins, the former Free State Minister, who was assassinated in 1927.
Well, look, I'm sorry we didn't have longer to talk about All My Bad, because I was so fascinated by Don Quixote. Thank you very much. That was Ronan McGreevy, Irish Times journalist and historian and co-author of The Kidnapping.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.